If you have your Bible this evening, turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 8. Thank you so much, Brother Jason, for hosting this meeting again this year. I thank God for the new era coming for the ministry here at Milldale. And it's a long and glorious legacy, and the future's bright and promising, isn't it? What a blessing. Amen. Thank God for it. I want to speak to you this evening on the practicality of the blood applied to our lives. Leviticus chapter 8, more of a devotion really from my own personal reading time, is what I want to share with you tonight, something the Lord began to speak to me very pointedly from, and I'm looking forward to great eagerness to hearing Brother Bob preach in a moment, but before he comes, let me just give you something of a devotional thought from the Scripture tonight. Leviticus 8, verse 22, and we'll read to verse 24. Now this, as you'll recognize, is a part of this great, grand dedication event that's taking place. And he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram. And he slew it, and Moses took of the blood of it and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put of the blood upon the tip of their right ear, and upon the thumbs of their right hands, and upon the great toes of their right feet. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about. This is sanctification day for Aaron and his sons. This is the day when they're being set apart and cleansed specifically to serve as priests unto the Lord. And a part of the solemn proceedings on this very special day involve the specific application of the blood of sacrifice to these parts of their anatomy, to these parts of their body. First to Aaron, then to his sons. Now you would agree tonight, I'm sure, that this was not a haphazard thing that was being done. This was not off the cuff. Moses didn't think of this on the spur of the moment and say, hey, this is a good idea. This will be a neat thing to do. This was under the direction of the living God. Moses had no latitude, you know. The Lord told Moses, don't you start innovating. You follow the pattern shown you on the mount. You do things the way I want them done. Innovation's what's killed American Christianity. We think we have the liberty and the latitude to make things up as we go, and we've forsaken the pattern shown us in the mountain. Moses was operating by divine revelation. He was doing specifically what had to be done. There was purpose and design behind this formal act. Moses was doing that which was dictated to him by the Holy Ghost. Now, the question that I ask as I read these verses in my quiet time recently is why? Why this? Why this specific application of the blood? What does this represent? I am of the opinion that everything that is done in Old Testament worship in terms of all of their pomp and circumstance and all of their formal behaviors, all of it has direct revelation and specific application to the New Testament believers in one way or another. And so I wanted to find out what this had to do with, why this application of the blood. Most of the time, when we think of the blood being applied to our lives, we're thinking of a positional reality. We remember, as we should, Exodus chapters 12 and 13, when the blood was applied to the doorpost of the house. And the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood served as a positional protection. It was not applied to their physical persons. It was applied to their residence, and it provided protection from the coming judgment of God. And most of the time, when we speak of the blood being applied to our lives, we are thinking in those terms. We talk about being covered in the blood and under the blood. And what we're thinking of is the fact that the blood of Jesus has bought protection from the wrath and the judgment of God. We are safe in our position under the blood of Christ. But in this passage of Scripture, the blood is taken to another level. This is not the blood applied to the doorpost. This is not a covering of protection. This is a specific touching of parts of the anatomy, the body. And so for clarity's sake, I want to make sure that we understand. When I talk about these priests being sanctified unto the Lord, I want you to know that this has application to every New Testament Christian in this room today. Because all of us are priests unto our God. Those who are bought with the blood, born again, by the grace of God, we are a people who are called to serve as ministers unto him and to minister on his behalf. And consequently, we each one, not just preachers in the pulpit and leaders in the church, but every believing servant of the Lord needs to be sanctified and made fit to serve him by the application of the blood of the sacrifice. Revelation 5, 1 Peter 2, both speak of the universality of the priesthood now. What we commonly call the priesthood of the believer. All believers serve as priests unto God. And the blood of the sacrifice spoken of in this text can be nothing other than a representation of the precious blood of Christ. Every animal sacrifice in the Old Testament has been now fulfilled and embodied and brought to fruition in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. So I know you're on board with me in terms of those images. We're all priests to the Lord, and the blood is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what about this touching of the blood to the specific parts of our body? Well, I just want to share with you what I believe the Lord has pointed out in my own life concerning this. First of all, these three particular parts of our personhood that are represented by these parts of Aaron's anatomy. The right ear was the first place the blood was placed. On the lobe of his right ear, the tip of Aaron's right ear. Now, the ear is the portal into the mind. It is the entrance into my meditations and my thoughts. The eye is as well, but you can't put blood on an eyeball. So they put blood on the ear. This signifies what I allow into my mind. It signifies what I listen to and consequently what I think on, that to which I give mental attention. The blood of Christ must make specific contact with my right ear, the right side of the body signifying the place of power and authority. That's why Christ is spoken of as being on the right hand of the Father. In scriptural terminology, that's the place of power and authority. The Bible speaks in this passage of the necessity for sanctification in the arena of what I allow into my ears and consequently into my thoughts. And this is not confined to the obscure text I'm using this evening. It's a constant theme in the Word of God. We're urged over and again by the Holy Spirit to turn away our ears from certain worldly and destructive things so as not to allow the defiling and the ruinous influence of the world to insinuate itself into our minds and distract us from the things of God. I think as this blood was being touched to the lobe of Aaron's ear, it was a very physical and visceral reminder that it is incumbent upon any saint of God who would be saintly. Now look, some saints are satisfied not to be saintly. But if you're a saint of God who has a desire to actually live a saintly life, that your actual lifestyle behavior, it reflects the fact that you're a saint of God, then the blood of Christ must be allowed to touch me in such a profound way that it begins to affect what I listen to and what I meditate on and what I think about. I've got to be willing, and this is empowered by the blood of Christ, I've got to be willing to turn a deaf ear and a blind eye to that which is ungodly and unchristian. Proverbs 20 and verse 19 says, "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips." There's some folk conversation you just don't need to listen to. Psalm 101 verse 2, "I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer." The Bible consistently condemns those who turn away their ears from hearing and meditating on the Word of God. The prophecy of Scripture is that there's a day coming, and I believe we're right in the middle of it now, when men will not endure sound doctrine. "But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." I couldn't help but think of that verse when I was meditating on these verses I'm preaching from tonight. The touching of the blood to the right ear of Aaron and to his sons. What does that represent? What is that meant to signify to them and to me? It is a warning that my ear is important. What I turn my ear to and what I turn my ear from is very significant. Zechariah chapter 7 verse 11 says of Israel of old, "But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear." Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. A great wrath because of what they did with their ears. Applying the blood of sacrifice to the earlobe represents a call of God on his ministering priests to be careful and consecrated in what we receive and entertain as food for thought. The profane propaganda and the vulgar foolishness of the Christless world is to be intentionally and aggressively rejected. But the wonderful life-giving word of God, the voice of the Holy Ghost, are to be welcomed and yielded to and hungered after with zeal and with joy. Luke chapter 8, the Lord Jesus said, "The good ground is those who with an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." The hearing of the word, James 1, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Revelation 2 and 7, the theme of the church, the one recurring theme in every letter Jesus spoke to the seven churches, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Finally, brethren, Philippians 4, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." It does matter what I'm thinking on. It does matter what I'm listening to. It does matter what I'm filling my mind with. It makes a difference in my life. And so I need the blood applied. I don't need just tonight to say, "Glory to God, I'm safe from hell because I'm under the cover of the blood of Jesus." I need to get practical with the blood of Jesus. I need the blood to be touching my earlobe tonight. I need the blood to be affecting the way I think and the things I meditate on and the things I fill my thoughts with. I'm convicted of the fact that the enemy, the devil's chief, one of the chief weapons of the enemy in our culture is to make us insensitive to the awfulness of sin by turning it into an object of ridicule and mockery and fun. Stand-up comedians may be the most powerful tool in the devil's arsenal in America today because they get us laughing at things that ought to break our hearts. They make things look funny and ridiculous that ought to have us on an altar weeping our souls out before God, begging for mercy. But it becomes an object of fun and jest, and it's no big deal anymore, you see. Now it's just lighthearted fun, these serious, sobering, serious things. My ear. I need the blood on my ear. I need the blood on my thumb tonight. The blood was touched to the right thumb of Aaron and his sons. Now, obviously, this speaks of the work of our hands. The thumb represents the ability to grasp and to handle things, and consequently the power to make and to hold. This is about the way I touch those around me. The blood on my hand, the blood on my thumb. This is about the way I touch those around me and the way I interact with the practical world of everyday life. The hand represents that with which we toil. We engage in work with the hand. We accomplish things. And with the blood applied specifically to the right thumb, we have a call for sanctification in all of my doings and all of my undertakings. An urging to practical surrender of the details of my grabbing and my giving to the will and the glory of God. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." 1 Corinthians furthers that principle. Whatsoever you do in word, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And then Colossians 3 comes along and adds another layer to it. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, the Bible says then, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So whatever I'm doing, whatever my hand finds to do, I'm to do it as well as I can. I'm to do it with my might. I'm to do it for the glory of God. I'm to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know that our works, the works of our hands, do not earn us salvation, nor do they earn us sanctification. But my friend, being born again by the grace of God must have and will have a revolutionary influence on what I'm doing with my hands and how it's being done. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Work out your own salvation, the Bible says, with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. My right thumb tonight, specifically touched by the blood of the sacrifice, involves the practical doings of my everyday existence brought under the direct influence of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's not enough this evening for us to be vaguely religious and casually Christian. I need the blood of God on my thumb so that the works of my hands honor him in the things I do and the way that I do them. All of us who are saved ought to be sanctified in terms of holding loosely the things of this temporal material world while holding tightly to the one who has inscribed our names on the palms of his nail-scarred hands. That means that I refuse to put my hand to anything that is inherently ungodly and shameful in the eyes of the Lord Jesus. It's amazing, isn't it, to discover how many professing Christians in our day think that being saved by grace and not works means that they're free to engage in any kind of godless activity in the world without any serious consequence. Christian businessmen are often just as cutthroat and unscrupulous in their dealings as their unsaved competitors. Christian workmen are too often just as liable to fudge a timesheet or purposefully pad a bill to take advantage of the ignorance of a customer or cut corners to increase their profit margin as the heathen in the world around us. Church-going students and employees are often as willing to do sloppy, halfway jobs on their assignments, especially when no one's looking over their shoulder and they think they can get away with it, as those who lay no claim to Christ and salvation. And of course, worse than all of that, so many of us who claim to know God are so willing to offer him half-hearted, lukewarm service in the very arena of the church, in the very arena of ministry, just going through the motions of worship, lollygagging our way through our obligations as a member of the body of Christ, never pulling our load or using our spiritual gifts to their full for the glory of God. Dear ones, listen, we better get the blood applied to our right thumbs. We better allow the shed blood of the cross to sanctify the works of our hands, because one day we're going to answer to the Lord of his servants on the basis of our faithfulness to put our hands to the kingdom plow and not look back. The blood to the ear, the blood to the thumb, the blood to the toe. The right toe, the big toe, and so the foot, speaks of the way a man walks. It talks about the direction and the manner of his movement. In Bible terminology, walking means living. A righteous walk just means living in a manner that's right with God and pleasing to him. Walking in the truth just means living in practical obedience to the truth that I know of the Word of God. The blood applied to the right toe speaks of the sanctification of a man's life, bringing all of the movements of my life, my goings and my comings, the choice of path and direction that I'm walking, bringing all of that under the cleansing, consecrating touch of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Micah 6 and verse 8 says that the only thing the Lord wants of us is that we walk humbly with him, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Galatians speaks of walking in the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the lust of my flesh. How I need my feet to be under the direct influence of the blood of Christ, so that every step I take is done as an act of conscious love for the Lord and willful surrender to him. At each crossroad of life, whether it's a big one or a small one, at every crossroad of life, before I step my right foot on one path or the other, I've got to remember and surrender to the reality that I am not my own. I am bought with a price. The blood of Jesus has purchased me, and my one and only ambition must be to glorify him who paid much too high a price for me. The blood on my foot is going to influence the way I live and the direction that I'm going. Psalm 119 verse 59 says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The blood applied to my toe would make me purposeful in terms of the path that my life is following. I will want, with that blood affecting me in this practical way, I will want and I will purpose to obey James 4:8. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. It'll make me a man who's intentional about Psalm 63:8. My soul followeth hard after thee, O God. It will cause me to embrace verses like 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You see, the blood on my foot's going to affect what I flee from and what I follow after. It's going to have an influence on the behavior of my life. Sanctification of foot tonight. That's what we need. Sanctification of foot. It'll mark me out as a God follower, a pursuer of holiness, a luster after surrender, someone who hungers and thirsts for a closer walk with Christ. Proverbs 4, verse 26 says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. The book of Ephesians uses the term walk so often. Walk not as other Gentiles walk. Walk as children of light. The blood applied to my toe is going to make me passionate about the pace at which I'm moving. Once the blood has been applied to my foot, I'm not going to be found strolling along in leisurely indifference to the question of my rightness with God and my proximity to Him. I'll not be dragging my feet, lagging behind the drawing and the wooing of the Holy Ghost when the blood's been applied to my toe. I'm going to be in hot pursuit of the closest fellowship with Christ that is possible by His empowering grace. I love Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4, which says, draw me, and then the resolution, we will run after thee. I like runners after Him, don't you? Not sashay, not stroll, I'll run. You just show me how to get closer, Lord, and I'm going to run as hard as I can. The blood's on my foot, brother, when I'm acting like that. The blood applied to my toe is going to manifest in a patient endurance and obedience, a commitment to follow on to know the Lord day in, day out, week in, week out, across the years, to keep on keeping on, to finish well to His glory. Brother Jason's already exhorted us with the reality that a Bible conference is a marathon, and of course we all know the Christian life is a marathon. We start out sometimes with the glow of the newness of it all, newly saved, but I'll tell you, folk, as exciting as it is to see a newborn Christian fresh out of the womb of the Holy Ghost conviction, just born into the family of God, here's what I love to see. I love to see a saint of God 50 years later still passionate for Jesus. That's what I love to see. That's my resolution in my own walk with God. I want to keep a pace. I want to set a pace that I can stick to the end. And when I go across the finish line by the grace of God, I want to still be excited about the things of the Lord. I don't want to just live under the covering of the protection of the blood. I'm thankful for that. Glory to God for positional truth, that I'm under the blood and I'm safe because of that tonight. But I want the blood to do more than that in my life. I want the blood to make contact with some parts of my anatomy. I want the blood of God to affect my ear, what I listen to, what I meditate on, what I allow entrance into my mind. I want the blood of God on my hand, the works of my hand, the way I behave myself, the things I engage in, the activities of life. I want the blood of God on my foot. I want to be under the influence of the blood concerning where I'm going and how I'm getting there. I want my foot to be touched by the blood of God tonight. This text is about the practicality of sanctification. That which was performed as an outward ritual in the lives of these Old Testament priests is intended as a hands-on illustration of the internal spiritual reality that all of us as servants of the Lord ought to seek after. Sanctification of the whole self. Purposeful surrender of all the component parts of who I am. This is the message of the passage to me. From what my ears hear, what my mind receives and meditates on, to what my hands find to do, to where my feet are taking me, all of these under the direct influence and the cleansing touch of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We dare not approach the Lord or seek to represent Him as His gospel and kingdom priests with unsanctified heads, unsanctified hands, and unsanctified feet. The old hymn asked the question, would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood for that. That's a lost man who needs to be saved. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. But the song goes on to ask. I miss the profundity of this old hymn because of my familiarity with it for many years. And just in recent days, it's begun really to dawn on me how profound that song is. Power in the blood. The first verse addresses an unsaved man. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. But the next verse addresses saints. Would you be free from your passion and pride? Do you have a problem with a stronghold in your life? Would you be free from your passion and pride? Well, glory to God, there's power in the blood for that too. There's still power in the blood for that. Do you need power to be victorious over the self-life and your besetting sins? Where do you go for that power? That same blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for you. And then the verse that I want to speak of as I finish, the verse says, would you do service for Jesus your King? Are you interested in being of use to the Lord? Are you interested in living a life as His priest that can represent Him well and make a difference in the world? Would you do service for Jesus your King? Guess what? You have to go to the same source for power to do it. There's power in the blood even for that. In fact, it's the only place you can go for power, to do service for Jesus your King. I want to urge you tonight, this devotional thought, I want to urge you to be intentional about the application of the blood of Jesus to the elements of your personhood, bringing your head, your hands, and your feet under the direct influence of the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.